Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 41 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and Sean Orford. Hi, Sean.
Hello, Edward. How are you?
All right, are you okay?
Yeah.
What are you laughing at, dare I ask?
It's just fun. It's good being alive. Can you hear the foghorn in the distance?
Well, no, I thought it was your stomach at first. That's usually what I can hear, but...
We're near the River Mersey here, and it's a bit kind of foggy. And you can hear the foghorns going.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's quite a cool sound, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's been lovely. Spring has been here the last few days, but it's kind of gone a bit gloomy again. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling energised with these light mornings.
Yeah, it's great. It's good. Love it.
And you've just done 10K?
I've done my first 10K. I did 10.61. Let's get it accurate. Down to the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great. It's good. So I'm getting better. And the thing that's good about that is I've been on this detox. I'm into the nearly at the end of the second week and third week. And... everyone said to me, oh, you never get your energy up if you're going to do your detox and all that kind of stuff. But you have to understand how your system works. So I've gone from 5K to 10K over the last couple of weeks. And I'm doing 10Ks now, being Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
And all you're eating is acorns and drinking water.
Yes, yeah, living on fresh air. I've just cut out all the rubbish. So it's like I've got no meat, no dairy, no chocolate, no caffeine. Yeah, and so the system's just kind of clearing itself out, and I feel amazing. I feel really good.
So when you come for dinner to us on Friday with some pals, and I cook you this glorious meal, which is full.
I should be poking around my plate. I'm like, I can eat that. Like, I can't eat that.
Jeez, yeah. We'll see how that goes. You can spend the night in the bathroom or something. this week we're talking about anger, aren't we, Sean?
Yeah.
All of us get angry to some extent.
Yeah.
But some more than others. We're going to dive into that later. I can sense you chomping at the bit to get started.
It's because I'm angry.
Yeah. But before we do, I first want to mention a review on iTunes, which we've had. We love getting iTunes reviews, and we've had one from Mill 557427. Sounds like the kind of military number, doesn't it? But 5 stars, podcast is a breath of fresh air, and from the outset tends to immediately just create a relaxed, positive atmosphere. Presenters are highly qualified. That made me chuckle because I have no qualification whatsoever to present a show such as this.
Maybe the qualification is being good at doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the qualification. I reckon you're good at doing it.
I'm qualified to, chat. Yeah. Just randomly about stuff. And I'm pretty happy chappy. It's informed, relaxed, extremely stimulating, and great for anyone out there who questions the whys of life. And it's a DMC between Ed and Sean, which you get invited to every week. Now, I wasn't sure what a DMC was. Were you, Sean?
No, that was a new one on me.
That was new. I googled it quickly and it said one was Devil May Cry. I don't think it's that. But what did we find out?
It was a deep, massive chat.
Deep, massive chat. Who did
I go? I go for that. That's okay.
DMC. I like that one.
Yeah.
So thanks, Mel.
I'm just going to have a DMC with Ed. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and you're all invited.
Yeah. That's cool.
How's your week been?
Well, apart from my 10Ks, I'm okay. I've been hooked into the news over the last couple of days.
Oh.
Back into the Winter Paralympics. I am amazed by those guys.
I know.
Yeah, how many of those guys could be angry with what happened to them, and yet they're turning into something positive? I love that. That's incredible.
I haven't had a chance to see much. I saw one of the skiing ones where the person was basically severely visually impaired and they have to follow this person in front.
Yeah.
So they can't see the track really. They can just apparently see this orange thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. So brave to do that.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a Paralympic winter version.
It's brilliant. Absolutely. But they say that the 2020 in London, because it was so powerful and so powerfully done, that everyone's taken it on board. Like NBC in the States hardly covered the Paralympics here.
Yeah.
And they got slated for it, so now they're covering everything.
Nice.
It's got a lot of coverage, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Oscar Pistorius is in the news as well, so that feeds nicely.
Yeah, right, yes, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other things around. Very aware about the plane that's gone down. And there's something horrible, and certainly when I'm working with people, when people don't know.
Yeah.
If people knew what had happened, then it would be okay. They could process it, but it's this uncertainty.
Again, I haven't seen much of the new. I haven't been watching much telly.
Scary stuff.
I've seen.
Yeah, and people that are very. They're passionately aroused, and whether we'd see that, we come back to that, we'd see that as anger or, you know, whatever's going on for them. But it's what a horrible place to be in.
Yeah.
And the other thing that stuck me on the news, very interesting, is that the British government is moving towards the idea of it's okay to have mercy killings.
Mm.
And that we're looking at the idea now intimation in the way that they're going is that if someone only has 6 months to live, they will turn a blind eye if their life is brought to an end.
Blimey.
You either see that as the first lights of sanity or as the beginning of a slippery slope, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see that movement is going on now.
Blimey. That's a tricky one. I had no idea about that. That's good.
Maybe there's a podcast in that.
Maybe.
Which is about, you know, is it okay to end life?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I don't think people... It's one of those subjects that you never get agreement on.
Yeah.
There's such passionate feeling on both sides.
But also, there's people can be objectively, have a decision, have an idea, an opinion, but when it comes to they're subjectively, emotionally connected to who's dying or whether they're dying, they might feel differently at that point.
Blimey.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of issues this week that have tested my patience and possible anger levels with technology. First of all, I did the classic smashed iPhone, dropped my wife's iPhone and smashed the screen, so that's ridiculous.
So were you angry?
I was actually remarkably calm, and Bethan was pretty cool with it too.
Well, that's good. Well done, Bethan. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I think it was maybe the following night, my computer, my precious laptop, which basically is my whole life, just gave up the ghost and poof, power down, no signs of life whatsoever. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be 200-300-400 quid. Managed to find a little forum post online which suggested taking the back off, which is no easy thing on these blooming sealed up units.
Mm-hmm.
Disconnecting the battery and plug it back in and away you go, and it worked. So that's fixed, and I'm going to fix the iPhone myself with a little kit I bought online. Still ridiculously expensive, but
yeah,
I turned that anger into some positive energy. So let's go into the topic of the week, Sean. Anger. Where do we start on this one? Because, well, everyone gets angry at some point, huh?
In theory, yes. I mean, we could say no. Because I think that the kind of things we need to look at is that one man's beauty is another man's ugly. You know, one man's anger is another man's just simple kind of passionate arousal.
Yeah.
So, and I think that a lot of that we have to look at in terms of culturally. Like, British people don't do passionate arousal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Spain, so certainly southern Spain, southern Italy, across into North Africa, people will be much more passionate, much more volatile. They'll scream and shout and carry on.
Yeah.
Whereas we'll be terribly confined about what we do. Yeah. And the weird thing is that they will shout and scream at each other and have a good ding-dong and then go and have a cup of tea and get on with it. It's fine. Whereas us lot, if we shout and scream at each other, that's usually, that's it, I'm not talking to you for however long.
Yeah, we bottle it all up and then...
Yeah. And, don't let it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose the point I want to start with is that anybody who has a level of arousal, and that arousal, we could label it passion, we could label it anger, we could label it love even, but as soon as that passion takes over, the cognition, the thinking bit of the brain turns off. And so, essentially, anybody who's in a state of emotional arousal is stupid because that cognitive part isn't working.
It's just shut down.
Yeah.
Okay.
And trying to have a logical conversation with somebody who is passionate or angry or in love or whatever, forget it, you can't do it.
I mean, I like to think I'm pretty good at taking a deep breath when I get that little, when the red mist starts to descend. But some people just can't do that, can they? And it's just that they're unaware of their actions almost and they just poof, lash out or...
But one of the things I'd say to that is that nobody comes out of the womb with their fists up looking for someone to punch. it's what happens is that we learn it and then we say, oh, it's just the way that I am, or it's just the way that he, she is. And it's not like that. And the thing is that when you become awake, which is the whole waking up, living in the present thing, and you become aware of your relationship between thinking and feeling, then you can begin to control that emotional part of yourself.
Yeah.
And become emotionally articulate. Okay. A lot of us are cognitively articulate, but we're not emotionally articulate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't buy... I mean, I do, obviously, in the work I do, I get quite a few anger management issues going on. And very often in the workplace, people say, well, no, that's just the way that he or she is. And it isn't. You know, that's not an excuse. And there may be reasons why the person's like that. Maybe it's reactive to things that happened to them in childhood or whatever. Yeah, but that's not an excuse. Yeah, there's no excuse for not dealing with your issues. And if you're an angry person, you become volatile. Do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't muck about with it. And don't pretend in any way that you can't help it or that's the way that it is. It may be that you need to learn how to control it. And it may be that when you start off, that you feel pretty kind of helpless in it and it keeps taking you over and overwhelms you. But that's okay. Yeah, if you acknowledge it and then go and work with somebody and pull it back, then you can begin to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. And you talked to, before we came on our air, about using that energy for positive or turning it around.
Yeah, but if you think about, because we use these words anger, and then once we use the word anger, we label that level of emotional arousal negatively.
Yeah.
If we called it passion instead, that we had a passion about something rather than anger. If you think about any issue on the planet, like the abolition of slavery, the people that were involved in that abolition, I guess, were pretty angry about what was going on. But they used that anger as a power pack to drive them forward to make a change.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess that the people that were on the other side and that wanted to maintain slavery were pretty angry too.
Mm-hmm.
And they started to use that energy to fight with. So we have the whole kind of American Civil War situation, yeah, which we have all these issues being played out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, there's nothing wrong with passion. It's great. I love people that are passionate about what they do. And sometimes that passion may feel to someone else like it's anger. You know, if someone's trying to direct a play and the actor keeps getting it wrong, then, and the director is passionate about what they're doing, the actor may feel that they're being got at with a kind of an angry voice, but maybe that's not it. Maybe the person's expressing their passion.
Mm. Yeah. That's interesting. I was watching The Shining the other night.
Oh, right, yes.
which is a pretty cool film. Yeah. Well, brilliant film. And Kubrick, I think, to coax the performance out of the lead lady in that, I can't remember what her name is, Shelley something, Jack Nicholson's wife,
yeah.
She's obviously taken right to the brink. You can tell, it just did the look in her eyes. There's documentaries about the making of that movie where Kubrick really, really pushed her like right to the edge to get this performance out of her. And I think she really resented him for it, actually, in the end. But it's a great movie and it's an amazing performance. Like, so, what's one of them in it?
But would you say that she was expressing the passion of what she was doing, or was it the anger? You know, it's the label, isn't it, that we put on it?
It was just blind fear, I think, really. But it's tricky, isn't it? But you were talking before, I like the thing you said earlier on before we came on air about you have this ball of energy, which we'll call anger, and it can either be something in front of you that's stopping you from doing things.
Yeah, it gets in the way.
Yeah, or you can put it behind you and
use it as a power pack. Yeah.
A propellant.
Yeah, and you see that a lot. And people that are highly driven are using that energy behind them to push them along. Whereas people that tend to be people that are making excuses for being the way that they are,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they've used the anger in the front as a way of, as a barrier between them and other people.
Yeah.
And very often we have a phrase that we use, don't we, that attack is the best form of defence.
Mm-hmm.
And very often people that are very angry a lot of the time are trying to protect their own fragility. Yeah, they feel they're like very little, emotionally very little, and they're trying to protect their littleness from other people by keeping them away.
Mm-hmm.
So to be angry is like pushing people away.
You work with couples where I'm guessing anger might be an issue, and seriously, like where it spills into violence.
Yeah, yeah. My favourite was a couple of very, very big people that would smack each other, and they would do it in the consulting room, and they would really give each other a crack. I mean, we're talking about bruises and blood here.
Blimey.
You know, and when they get angry.
Mm-hmm.
So step number one was I gave them a balloon each so they could hit each other with the balloon, which was better than hit each other with fists. And they took that out of the consulting room with their balloons. They would walk around with their balloons and each other, in the house. But then we got to a point where we used the magic word, and for them it was mushroom. And the deal is, when you have that kind of volatility between people, if you use a magic word, when the magic word is spoken, there's a set of behaviours that have to follow that. So the word could be anything, could be banana, whatever.
Yep.
And for them, the agreement was that when someone shouted mushroom, they had to separate for 10 minutes into two rooms,
mm-hmm.
and calm right down, and then come back together and deal with whatever the issue was. But because they had both become stupid in get that level of arousal, so their emotions had taken over.
Yep.
And that in separating 10 minutes allowed the level to come down, so now they could meet again and talk emotionally but cognitively as well, so they could start to resolve the issue.
Okay.
Yeah. And so for some couples, when the word is shouted, whatever it is, that it may be that they don't separate, that they move forward and just hold each other. That may be the agreement, that, and in holding shove, they try and dissolve that negative anger into a positive feeling.
Mushroom. That was the, yeah. That was the secret word, right?
Yeah, mushroom, yeah, banana, whatever. Any word like that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, time out. Yeah, but the agreement is what happens after that word is shouted. Yeah, and it has to be a clear agreement. You can't have one person. You ask me whether what happens if they're both watching the television and someone shouts banana and they don't want to shift because they're both watching the television.
Yeah.
Know? Maybe you have to have a room with two televisions, whatever. But you have to have it as a clear rule that when the word is spoken, that's it.
Uh-huh.
Done deal. Yeah. And that changes people dramatically because it gives them another way of dealing with the situation, gives them another way of looking at it.
Mm. That's
yeah,
cool.
Which is good, yeah. There's a site which I will put up as my recommended resource.
Yeah, sure.
It's a WikiHow one, and it's a How to Get Rid of Anger. And it's an interesting article which has some pretty weird pictures in it, but they take you through a set of steps, which I'd go along with most of it. So the first one is you need to step away from the situation, which is what the word does.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, you're getting angry with somebody. If you step away from it and you can bring your level of emotional arousal down, then that's good, yeah?
Yep.
We've talked before about 7-11 breathing, that if you can control your breathing, so you breathe in for 7 and out for 11, or as near as you can get to it, with every breath that you take, you will lower the level of chemical arousal in your body.
Okay.
Yeah, so by breathing out more than breathing in, so you can bring your level of arousal down like that. One of the things that I was showing you on the wall is that it's good that if the wall that's in front of us is your whole life and that tiny little nail hole in the middle is the thing that you're angry about, what we tend to do is to move right forward, so the only thing that we can see is the hole.
Yeah.
So that the whole thing, the anger thing, just fills our vision. That little hole is everything that we're looking at. But the more that we step back from that hole, from that little point of focus, and we see the bigger picture, we see the bigger life thing, then the easier it is to cope with because it becomes relatively smaller.
Yep.
Yeah, and for most people, the things that we get angry about are kind of neither here nor there.
Yep.
I mean, they're kind of stupid.
What makes you angry then, Sean?
the things that I would identify that press my button are people that bully other people.
Mm-hmm.
That presses my button. And whether that is domestically or whether it's in the workplace. And if I get a manager who is a bully, I will do something about it in an organisation. Because that to me is something which is beyond the pale. But I'm owning in that my own childhood. So I'm aware of that.
Yep.
The other thing that does press my button, and this is probably goes back to a childhood base again, is that in situations where maybe I'm working my butt off and I'm doing everything that I can and all that kind of stuff and fighting the good fight, and then someone comes along and criticises you for what you haven't done, and that presses my button.
Yeah.
And that goes back, I think, to my father describing me as an effing idiot all the time. I think that's probably the way that it was. But in doing it, one of the things I'm aware of as we talk about it is that I don't express that in a volatile way. I internalise it. It's, I suppose, that kind of passive anger that is internalised, which then I would deal with in meditation or something like that.
Yep.
So I deal with it in other ways. And maybe I need to be more volatile sometimes. Maybe I need to jump up.
Let it all out, Sean.
Yeah. Because of where I came from as a kid, we were talking about have we been angry and expressed anger, because anger very often tips over into violent behaviours. And there were times when I was younger where I did become a bit violent with people sometimes. And I think that was a reaction to childhood.
Yeah,
and refusing to be kind of bullied or pushed around anymore, and if anybody ever, especially when I was in secondary school, if anybody ever came near me and wanted to play footsie with bullying, I'd go bonkers, and I did. I ended up getting the cane several times at school for being violent. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Blimey. Yeah, I haven't got too many issues of violence in my past. There were a couple of things at school where stuff would kick off on the playground, like playing football and a dodgy tackle would go in and you'd see a bit of red, but nothing too bad. But stuff that makes me angry, I don't know, man. I can sense that I'm more susceptible to anger when in situations when I'm, say, tired or haven't eaten in a while, things like that. So, that, I mean, they're key indicators, aren't they?
Yeah, it can be like blood sugar levels.
Yeah.
Blood sugar levels are down.
Yep.
And you should really go and eat a banana or something.
Mm-hmm. We'll get your honey and cinnamon in each morning,
yeah,
which I'm still doing.
Is that working well?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I've started using honey, because it's the honey, water and lemon thing, which is part of my flushes, which I'm getting into more as a detox. And I was thinking about your cinnamon and wondering whether I should try a bit of cinnamon in it as well.
Get into it. Give it a go.
Yeah,
I haven't been monitoring it too closely. I'm not taking blood sugar levels every day or anything, but I feel pretty energetic at the moment.
Yeah,
certainly more than I did towards the end of last year when I was crashing out every afternoon.
No,
I just wasn't able to get anything done. I'm working through the day now. Brilliant.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can see a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
But William's sleeping better as well at the moment, so maybe that's something to do. Not getting woken up three times a night.
But it could be that because your levels of arousal are lower because you're taking honey and cinnamon and sleeping properly, that he is more relaxed and he sleeps more.
Maybe.
Could be. We never know, do we, which background it is.
Yeah.
We're reactive to things, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, like, in the middle of the night when you are tired and you've just been woken up, I know that that's when I'm more susceptible to anger. Not that it ever spills into violence, but, you know, William wakes up at 3 a.m. and it's like, Beth and I are snapping each other occasionally, like, it's your turn to get him, your turn, it's your turn. You know, and we're just like stupid little arguments. But because we're both, well, half asleep, basically. I was reading something last night, which is kind of an extreme form of anger, and how if you don't deal with it, it can lead to some horrific things. I was reading about the father of the Sandy Hook killer, Peter Lanza. His son Adam, I think a year ago, so a couple of years, went around a primary school in, or what is it, kindergarten, and shot up a load of kids and stuff, which is pretty horrific.
Yeah,
I mean, this kid had trouble from day one in his life. Almost, you could tell there was something not quite right about him, but it was never dealt with. But he didn't want it to be dealt with, so there was hundreds of opportunities throughout his life. He was 24, I think, when he eventually went on this killing spree. But there were so many opportunities where he'd been offered help with therapists, but always declined it. And
but one of the things is, when we start to look at a person, and especially anger issues, is we have to decide whether the person is angry because they're a regular person who's learned to be angry, or whether they're someone who lives in psychosis and lacks the insight. And when you get that, and you have a mental health issue, I mean, one of the things in the workplace is we always say you should confront the bully.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's okay. You can confront the bully unless the bully is a psychopath. And then you might end up with an axe in your head. It's a different game when you get into psychopathy. When I was working in the prison service, the amount of young men who would were quite violent and had quite horrific experiences that they had both received and had been perpetrators of, would so often be in a world where they're blaming their childhood for what happened. Yeah.
Yep.
Someone who is bonkers and psychopathic, who has lost all insight into life, they're not blaming anybody. They just are who they are.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They're not living in that world. And when we're neurotic, we can blame other people and other things. But when we're psychotic, there's no one to blame. It's just us doing what we do.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's quite a long form blog post on the New Yorker. This profile of the father who's finally come out. I think it was a year after he just wants to kind of tell his story, and he hadn't had had contact with his son for quite a few years because he'd separated from his wife, and he'd been going back to see the lad at weekends and stuff, but they became distant, and then eventually the son said, "I don't want to see anymore." So I think it had been 3-4 years before they'd even seen each other. But he'd just been dealing by email with the mum, who the mum was killed by the son as part of his killing spree. It's a crazy story, but it's an amazing read actually. And it sounds like the dad's dealt with it pretty not well. He's struggling with it, but he's obviously a pretty smart guy, and he's seen. I think he's basically said that there's nothing he could have done, really. He also said that he wished the lad had never been born as well, which must be an amazing thing to realise about your offspring. But have a read of that, because it's a pretty incredible story, actually.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that those kinds of things are very often full of lots of internal questioning, which comes down to guilt. You know, could I, should I?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. What could I have done? What didn't I do? And it's coming to terms with that. And very often, I mean, I've said it loads of times, but we have to learn to allow the mad people to be mad. There's things that you can change and things that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And whether anything that he could have done could have changed his son in that way. It sounds like his son had a lot of disorders.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe there's nothing anybody could have done. I mean, there are people who, certainly when I was in the prison service, who were detained at Her Majesty's pleasure, as in they had done things that meant that they would never come out, really.
Yeah.
They would go out for parole reviews. But there were some people who were so criminally insane, really, that they would never come out.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, this lad, he'd never shown any sign that he would do anything like this at all. But you see the story as well, and you think, why didn't they do something more? Because, I mean, the mum was taking him to shooting ranges, rifle ranges, just because he was interested in, like, World War II stuff and guns. She had weapons in the house. I don't know, he got an assault rifle in the end. I don't know where the hell he got that from. That's a whole other story. But at the same time, he'd never been violent all throughout school. He'd never hit anyone or lashed out to anyone. So this the finale was just out of the blue, really.
But to think about how many people are in situations, maybe they're at work and their boss does things that makes them angry, but they can't express it because it's the boss, so they internalise.
Yep.
Yeah, and maybe they go home and their partner does the same thing, so they internalise. But there comes a point where the cupboard's full. You can only fit so much inside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if the doors burst open, and it can be somebody who is completely innocent, who has done nothing really, but they get the lot. They get all of it. So they get this completely disproportionate expression of anger that pours out. And the thing that surprises me working with people isn't how many people kill each other, it's how few. Because I see people who are so really, really, really angry about their life and their situation and other people and what other people have done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that human beings are actually quite civilized. You know, there are very few people, relatively, who do go out with a gun or a knife and just take out the people that they've had enough of.
Yep.
You know, we are quite good at controlling that negative part of ourselves.
Yeah. You know. All those good people don't make the news, do they?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so many people didn't kill someone today. Yeah.
That'd be a good news story, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Edward Lamb did not go on a massacre. Yeah. Killing spree today.
Yeah. But like I said, I'm surprised. I'm sorry. I mean, you just drive down the road, you're on the motorway, and you watch people's behaviour, And you get people being crazy on the road.
Driving is an interesting one, isn't it? That's something that can bring out the anger in a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I've often wondered about that. I mean, because you can be walking down a street full of people crisscrossing and you bump into someone and you'll say sorry and that'll diffuse it. I think the thing with driving is there's not a way of saying sorry, really. Because we all make little mistakes driving, you know, or we don't forget to indicate or we cut someone off because we didn't know they were there. We've had it done to us and, you know, I can get angry and I'll beep and I'll... I think it's because we don't have a way in a car to really just politely say, oh, sorry, or,
yeah,
what are you doing? You've only got this big horn to beep, haven't you, which is quite an aggressive set thing.
Yeah. Maybe we need to develop a system where we have a flag that we wave.
Yeah, a nice little flag.
A white flag or a pink flag or something that says, sorry.
Yeah. Actually, you know, a sorry light on the back of a car would be brilliant. Do you think we could get that into... I'm going to get on Kickstarter and develop a prototype.
A sorry light.
A sorry light in the car.
Yeah.
Hey, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I
love it when you drive up behind the car, you know, and it says... You get this one that says, pull back baby on board. And I drove up behind one that said, pull back bastard on board. It's cool.
Driving, though, yeah, that's the one that just bring out anger in.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but it's weird when you're in a car, because in a car you've got your own environment, it's your own space, it's your own world in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And other people are kind of damaging or threatening your world. So it's quite a big issue, though.
Yeah.
You know, how dare you?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And just, I want to finally mention the kind of the health side effects of kind of anger issues, which can, you know, if you don't let deal with these things, they can lead to some quite serious health issues, can't they, Sean?
I think that if we look at that, certainly it has to have a global dimension. Okay? Down on the equator, where people are allowed to be more passionate, yeah? As you come north and people get more logical and they're not good at dealing with their emotions.
Buttoned down, yeah.
Yeah, that's where you start to get all the problems, anger issues, in the sense of the way it affects your body. So that you, when you get these repressed angers, we're building adrenaline and cortisol in the system that we're not expressing.
Yeah.
So that you've got hardened arteries, cardiovascular stuff. So you've got strokes, heart attacks. You get an increased level of arousal so that your system is fired up. Your gut is creating more acid. So we've got stomach ulcers. And you can, people get very squitty when they're angry. And because of the acidification, you can get ulcerative colitis. You get all those kinds of issues, irritable bowel stuff, all come from angers that we're holding.
Yep.
Tension throughout the body generally, so that people get tension. People either hold it in their shoulders and then get referred pain over the top of their eyes, so they get headaches because they're holding tension, or they hold it lower down in their back and then they get sciatic pain down their legs.
Okay.
Yeah, and all to do with people holding angers in their body,
yep.
Like postural things. And when you do body work and you're working with someone, you've got a knot in their back, and as you work on that knot and it gradually releases, you can feel it go. Suddenly the tension will go out of it. The person always responds. Either they will sigh, cry, shout, talk about a load of memories that come back. There will be a response as the tension comes out of the muscle where we're holding that psychosomatic tension.
Wow.
Yeah, so like postural stuff, everything.
So some self-help tips there to, if you're feeling angry or you think you're holding stuff, go have a rub down.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, anything that once you have to investigate your own self. You have to be your own guru, your own therapist. You are the expert on you. And if you have disorders, like you're a moaning person or you're an angry person or whatever, and it's affecting other people around you, then do something about it. Wake up.
Yeah.
Do something, stop messing about.
I think I hold tension in my right shoulder for some reason. It's not so bad now, that I'm, but I used to always find that my shoulder was up.
If you do that, then you'll find that your left hip
will be
out, because what happens is the two girdles work opposite each other.
Yeah.
So it's diagonal.
Quite often I just find that my shoulder was up for some reason. I'm like, what? I'll put it down.
If I had someone on the massage couch and their right shoulder was really tight and painful, I know that if I stuck my finger in the middle of their left buttock, they'd jump off the table. Because diagonally, the pain works like that. So the getting if your shoulders are tense, that can put your pelvis out, which then creates all kinds of problems in the way that you walk. And they can affect your ligaments and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it works either end.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. But overall, if you are an angry person and you need to do something about it, you need to find ways of expressing it. Loads of people, when they go to the gym or play squash, are expressing their anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not just there
to take it out on a punch bag or a rubber ball.
I'm sure people that do kickboxing, all that kind of stuff, they're expressing anger out. Yeah, not everybody, but lots of people. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure people that go running are doing that. But it's good because you're burning off this negative chemistry. So the adrenaline, the cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
Run up and down the stairs 20 times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get it out of your system.
Scream into a pillow.
Yeah, scream into a pillow. That's a good one. Yeah. One of the things that people say to me is, because I say to people, you need to scream and shout. And they say you can't, because if you scream and shout, people come running or they ring the police. But if you're driving down a motorway with the stereo turned up full, you can scream and shout your head off. No one knows, they think you're enjoying the music, but you can really get it out of your system.
Yeah.
Good expressions. But most importantly, do something about it. Go and talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the therapy bit. Yeah. And ultimately, we come back to our live in the present stuff, which is the mindfulness. If you are mindful and you're living in the moment, and that does involve things like headspace and stuff like that, then the things from the past that keep intervening stop, and the worries about the future stop, so you can actually be in the moment.
Mm.
Yeah? And that, if you've got the Live in the Present book, which if you're listening to this, you should have, it's step one, isn't it? Step one, learning to let go. Learning to let go of what was.
Uh-huh.
And until we do that, we're stuffed. Yeah?
Amen.
Hey.
Okay, and that's pretty cool. Have you got a resource of the week, Sean? You already mentioned it.
I've put it up, but it's the WikiHow. It's a really good article, and it's the WikiHow anger one, which is titled "How to Get Rid of Anger," and it is good. It's good. There's some good cartoons. Works at lots of age levels.
Yep.
But the stuff that there's good. I'd go along with everything that's there. Really.
There's a cool NHS article as well, How to Control Your Anger. Well, it's more of a kind of a step-by-step thing, and I'll put that in the show notes as well, but that's pretty interesting. My resource of the week, I was originally going to say a film, Anger Management, which has got Jack Nicholson and Adam Sandler in it, but it's not very good, really. It's worth it. It's all right for a Saturday night if you just want a bit of a laugh, but it's not very deep.
Right.
But there's another movie called 12 Angry Men.
All right.
Henry Fonda, back in the 50s, I think it was, maybe early 60s. Black and white movie, but an incredible film. Probably definitely in my top 10.
Never seen it. I'll have to go and watch it.
Set in a courtroom, although the jury, it's basically 12 members of the jury deciding on the fate of this one young lad who seemingly is definitely guilty of this crime. And Henry Fonda's the one guy in the jury who kind of says, wait a minute, let's just have a think about this. Because they're all, you know, they just want to go home. Basically, everyone wants to get out of there. He's guilty. It's obvious. It's boiling hot in this room. Everyone's really hungry. People want to get off to their families or get to the ball game. But Henry Fonda says, no, I think he's innocent, or I think he might be innocent. And then that's the start of the movie in there. It's amazing.
Right.
12 angry men.
Nice.
I think they're all men. Are there any women in there? Probably only men back then in the on the jury. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's all men. It was definitely men. But yeah, have a look at that.
Yeah.
I've got it on DVD. I'll lend it to you.
Yeah, do. Good.
Really cool movie. Are we all done, Sean?
Yeah, we're done. I'm good. Just that last thing. That if you are angry or you have angry outbursts, last bit is this, is that people that are angry because of the way the limbic system works in your brain, the amygdala, is that people that have anger issues, it gets worse over time.
Right.
So if you as an individual have anger issues, you have an absolute responsibility to do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah? And if your partner is someone who is angry, brackets violent, you have to accept the fact that if you don't do something about it or they don't do something about it, it's likely to get worse over time.
Right.
Yeah? And that is it's almost like a done deal, that. Yeah, because of the way that the nature of the addictive part of the brain, you know, we need more and more chemistry, so it goes up and up and up and up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that, just be aware of it. It's a case of us being responsible for ourselves if we're angry, or being responsible for ourselves if we are suffering the anger of other people.
Wake up and get some help.
Yeah, and sometimes if you are in a situation where you perhaps you're in a relationship and you have an abusive, angry partner, and it isn't always the man.
Uh-huh.
It isn't always the man. I work with at least 5 cases a year where men are being violently bullied by women.
Yep.
Yeah, and sometimes they're big lads, big guys, and it's a little woman. And the guy, there's something in his coding where he wouldn't hit back, because he'd probably kill her if he hit her. But he won't do it, which yep. means that he's open to abuse. But no one should be abused. No one should be the butt of other people's anger.
No.
Yeah, so please do something about it. Yeah? And if you can't talk to anybody else, email me and talk to me.
Yes.
Yeah?
Because you're pretty good at replying at the moment, aren't you?
I am, I'm pretty good.
You're on the ball?
Yeah. Hey, I'm there. I am that man.
Great, okay, that's a good way to sum up. Next week, we actually haven't got it on here, but we're going to talk about moving on from relationships.
Yeah, and that's been requested by a listener.
Yep.
Moving on from either divorces or ends of relationships, how do you do that?
Which is semi kind of linked to what we've just been discussing, I guess, if that's what needs to be done.
Yeah, very, very often there's lots of anger issues that lead up to a split. And maybe a during and after the split are there. There's stuff to be dealt with.
Okay, yeah. So we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, good.
In the meantime, check out livingthepresent.co.uk where you can find all the show notes for the things we've just discussed. And for all previous episodes, if you sign up to our email list, we will send them direct to your inbox.
We will indeed.
Every Thursday morning, assuming I get it done on time. If you could share this show with a pal, that would be brilliant. Just put the link on Twitter or Facebook, or just email it to him. If you could leave us a review on iTunes, we love getting reviews on iTunes, that would be cool. And even if you just want to email us with some feedback, podcast@livingthepresent.co.uk. We will see you all next week. Sean?
That's great.
I'm looking forward to dinner on Friday.
So am I.
Going to feed you full of lots of dairy products and alcohol as well.
No chance. No chance. I'm an alcohol-free zone. I've got another 11 weeks before.
Flippin' heck.
Someone actually gave me a bottle of homemade limoncello.
Oh.
Karen, she's clever making things like that.
Oh, lovely.
And so I've got it in the cupboard, but I can't drink it now for another 11 weeks. But I'll
bring it round. We'll have a bit of an aperitif.
Nah. I'm keeping it.
You swine. That makes me so angry. Right, have a good week, Sean.
Okay, and you. Take care.
See you later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.